All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of America Unhinged, John Diamond's write-in show. We're glad you could join us. We're really privileged today and honored to have with us as guests Pastor Dan Fisher and Dr. Pete Chambers, two great patriots who are contending for liberty in this nation, as we are in America's Black Robe Regiment. And we're so excited, Dan, that you and Pete could join us today. Thanks.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today. Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at BrighteonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Thanks again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, on this edition of America Unhinged, John Diamond's Brighteon Show. And as I mentioned earlier, we are privileged this morning to have with us Pastor Dan Fisher and Dr. Pete Chambers. Dr. Pete has been down on the southern border contending for liberty down there. And Pastor Dan's been traveling around the country with Paul Blair and Liberty Pastors and preaching about the history of the American pulpit, the pulpit that made America. And so it's an incredible honor to have both of them here today to talk to us about the things that they're doing, the things that need to be done, that must happen if this nation is going to be saved. There are a lot of people with wrecking balls trying to destroy our nation. It's time for pastors and other leaders to stand up against it. It's evil, it's tyranny. And Matt, it's great to have you today. Dan, it's great to have you. Pete, it's great to have you. And I think first we're going to go to Dan and just have him give us a brief orientation on the Black Robe Regiment of American history. Really, it is the true history of the pastors who made America. So Dan, welcome.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be with you. You know, about a week ago, I was able to share with the group a little bit about the Black Robe Regiment. You know, they were called that, Bill, as you know, by the British. These guys preached in black robes. It didn't matter whether you were Lutheran or Presbyterian or Baptist or Congregational. All those guys in those days wore black robes, very different, of course, from most of us today. But that was kind of their symbol. And so the British clamped onto that, and a Tory by the name of Peter Oliver called them the Black Regiment, referring to their robes. Kind of stuck. And today we call them the Black Robed Regiment. You know, it's interesting, Bill, that the framers, those are the guys, that's what I call the guys like Madison and Adams and Washington, all Jefferson, those guys. They understood the fallen nature of man. They got it. They understood what the Bible says, that man is fallen and that without redemption, he is irreparably lost, both spiritually and mentally and physically and the whole deal. So the church was such a key part of the culture in those days. And the framers understood that if you don't have a moral people, they're not going to be able to govern themselves. You can't have a republic in an immoral culture. And so if you read the writings, and I know you have, you read the writings of men like Adams or Madison or Jefferson or you name it. And even later into the 1800s, our leaders understood that a self-governing people must be a moral people. And they believed the best shot at that was if Christianity had a huge impact and influence in the culture. So they encouraged the preaching and the teaching of the gospel because they knew that would cause more men and women to be moral. And then they'd be able to self-govern. So that was the key to the pulpit. As you know, they were very influential, very engaged. The idea of separation of church and state wouldn't have even entered into their heads. Political correctness was immaterial to them. Biblical correctness is what mattered to them. So these guys engaged, many of them, as you know, served in government. One of our kind of quintessential guys, Peter Muhlenberg, he was in the Virginia House of Burgesses along with George Washington and Patrick Henry. They were the two that recommended him to be commissioned as a colonel of the 8th Regiment out of what, Bill, is today your state, but at that time was the Virginia colony. And so he led them from 76 to 1783. And, you know, as you know, his statue is in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol. And so these men believed that they needed to put their money where their mouths were, and they didn't just talk about liberty. They didn't just talk about standing for what's right. They went and did it. So when the war broke out, even before that, the pastors were the primary motivation for the Declaration of Independence. It was John Witherspoon, who was a Presbyterian preacher, the president of what became Princeton, that gave an impassioned speech that kind of pushed the guys over the edge and said, okay, we need to declare our independence. And he, along with many others, pushed them. And then when the fight started, it was preachers. As you know, it was the Lexington Minutemen were trained and led by a preacher and a deacon, Pastor Jonas Clark and John Parker, the deacon. And it doesn't stop there. That's not the end. Those guys were involved all along the way, and they made an enormous difference in North America. It's why we're free today. So what Paul and I and what you and many others are trying to do is to try to reintroduce this concept that pastors should be engaged in the political process from their pulpits. These truths are biblical. They're not political. And governance is really not about politics. When we say political, people think Democrat and Republican. They didn't even have parties in those days. They just talked about proper governance. And they believe moral men would be good leaders and immoral men would be bad ones. Imagine that. Try that on for size. What a novel thought. And these guys were engaged. And that's what we're trying to get pastors to do today. Do the same thing. We don't want to fight, but we have a fight on our hands. It's a culture war. And boy, if we don't stand up and speak out, we're going to lose this thing.
I agree with you, Dan. The British, I believe, regarded the American clergy, or particularly the Protestant clergy of New England, to be chief instigators of what they considered to be the rebellion. The American Revolution was the rebellion. And they were considered chief agitators of that. And when they were, when the clergy were taken in conflict, were captured, they were treated with particular animus by the British, who really tortured them and punished them.
Yes, they did.
Because of their stance. And really, what I'd like to say, and I know you believe this as well, is that the clergy were really the vanguard of independence in their sermons. Yeah. They weren't trying to be, like you say, political. They just believed liberty was sacred. It was a sacred blessing. Yeah. One of the blessings of liberty. I mean, one of the blessings of God. And they believed that they needed to invest everything in securing it, to keep liberty secure in America. It was because
Bill, they believed that a proper understanding of governance came from Scripture. And whether you read Blackstone or even John Locke, they all understood that. When Locke talks about the God of nature, and I mean the laws of nature and nature's God, in Locke's writings, he says that's the God of the Bible. So they understood this. They got it. And unfortunately, today we don't get it. And so we've jettisoned biblical principle for political, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's principle. Political power convenience or influence or whatever it is. We've jettisoned principle for politics, and now you can see what we have. And that's the difference in these men that we're talking about of the 18th century. They weren't perfect. And I don't even believe that most of our framers, or at least all of them, were born-again Christians. I don't claim that everybody was a committed Christian, but what I do know is that most of them had a profound respect for the principles laid down in God's word. And they even had a pretty healthy respect for the God of the Bible. And, you know, we hear the stories about how Benjamin Franklin was a godless deist. Well, deists believe that God went on vacation and he's gone and there's no need in talking to him. Well, why would a deist suggest that prayers be prayed at the opening of the Constitutional Convention? I mean, a deist wouldn't recommend that. What we've been taught today is so absurd, and we've had our history stripped from us. And I know you probably experienced this. You mentioned Black Robe Regiment to the average preacher today, and they'll go, "What?" They don't even know what the Black Robe Regiment was. So we've got to reawaken this knowledge. The book of Hosea, God says, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. And we don't believe government's the solution, but we certainly believe it can be the problem. And government's one of the institutions God created. And if we don't want God in government, we're going to have godless government. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. And look at what we have today. You know, we were just talking off air before we got started. Good grief. Look at what has happened to the military from top down. You have godless leaders in every area of our government today. So it's no surprise that they want to take 30% of the land away from citizens by the year 2030 and their 30-30 plan. And their plan is to take 50% of the land away by 2050 and have it completely devoid of human beings so it can, quote, as they say, return to the natural state. Well, I don't know about you, but my yard, when it's in the natural state, looks pretty bad. Adam was made a caretaker of God's creation. And so anyway,
it's funny they would want the creation to go back to its natural state when they don't believe in the laws of nature or any of that stuff. So everything's
coincidence to them.
Yes, indeed. I was at a major prayer event the other night, a few nights ago in Tennessee, in Nashville. And we went around the table. People were saying what they did. And I said, I lead something known as America's Black Robe Regiment. And you'd believe it. You talk about people being ignorant in the church. You wouldn't believe this, the deer in the headlights look I got from eight people sitting at the table. had no idea what it was. And I think we talked about, you mentioned early on the separation of church and state. I think it was at least four clergymen in the first Congress who were men. One of whom fought in the Revolution, became a general, that's Peter Muhlenberg, and then his brother, who was the Speaker of the House, and then there were a couple others that had been clergymen as well. And the American people, I believe to a man, understood the significant role, the leadership role of the clergy in the founding of America. And I think if somebody had stood up in the Congress, the first Congress, and said, while they were drafting the founding charters, and said, we really need to talk about separation of church and state, I think it would have started another revolution.
Oh my gosh.
On the spot.
Of course it would have. Well, you know, Bill, the caricature that most people have of a preacher today is of a kind of raspy, whiny voice, hands been soaking in palm olive all day long, soft, never done an honest day's work in their lives. They wouldn't know what a callus is except maybe on their butt. And, you know, these guys are sissies. They're only worried about their paycheck and their tea time at the local country club. The pastors that we're talking about were men. I mean, these guys were not afraid to pick up a flintlock. You know, you take Samuel Phillips Payson in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Today, Chelsea's kind of swallowed up by Boston. But in those days, Chelsea was a separate little town or village. And for a good part of the early days of the struggle, now this is before the battles of Lexington and Concord, Samuel Phillips Payson was kind of against fighting the British until they fired on the citizens in Lexington. And then historian Joel Headley says that he took a flintlock of his own and gathered up men from his community and were beside the road today called Battle Road that leads from Concord back to Boston. And once the Redcoats had fired on the American citizens in Lexington, and they moved on to Concord and done the same at the Old North Bridge, Buddy, Minuteman groups, many of them led by pastors, waylaid those Redcoats along the road. And these men were not the typical soft-skinned, tight jean-wearing, fog-producing in their church buildings, preachers, kind of Hollywood stars, so to speak, that we have today. These were men that would fight for what they believed in.
Yeah. And they were courageous. They were tough. You know, I think the British lost 324 soldiers on the way back to Boston, 324 casualties. And
yeah, in fact, if they hadn't been reinforced with another 1,000, most people believe that the American Patriots would have wiped them out.
Could have done it right then and there, gotten rid of them.
Yeah, well, that bunch of them anyway.
But they're now they're back.
You know what? Today, a part of that road has been preserved. It's called Battle Road, and the modern highway has been moved a little bit off to the side. I lead tours up there, and you can actually walk the road itself. Of course, many of the original structures are still along that road, and you can go walk Battle Road where those preachers and their congregants were hiding behind rocks and trees and fences. And, buddy, when the British got up there to them, they waylaid them. And, I mean, you know, Patriots died too. And I don't want to be misunderstood that all I think we ought to do is load up guns and start shooting our enemies. I'm just simply saying that these men had done everything they knew to do. You know, Bill, I wrote in my book, and by the way, I want to give my website, danfisherbrr.com, if folks want to go get the book and read about the documented story of at least some of the Black Regiment. I don't think you can cover it all in one volume, but you know, these guys, we have copies of their letters that they wrote home. These men were English citizens. They weren't rebels. They didn't want to separate from England. But you get to a place where your liberties have been trampled and your properties have been occupied by force, and you realize where this is heading, and you've made every appeal that has been ignored by the king and, you know, Parliament, which is what Jefferson wrote in the Declaration. And finally, you just have to say, guys, we're separating, and let's just let the chips fall where they may. And so that's what happened to those men. And I'm happy that they did it. I'd also like to encourage people to go to our Liberty Pastors website at libertypastors.com. Because as you mentioned early on, Paul Blair and I work together, and we do something called a Liberty Pastors Training Camp, where we teach guys the nuts and bolts of how to take the principles of these 18th century preachers and translate them into a 21st century context. You know, most preachers, even if they know about the Black Regiment, they don't know the first thing about how to do it. And so Paul and I kind of teach these guys in a 3-day camp how to do it. And if fellows are interested, we're going to do a camp next week, the last week of September in Plymouth, Michigan. And they can go to libertypastors.com and see if there's still any spaces available. And if they can't get in on that one, we're going to be doing one in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the first week of November. So there's still opportunity before the holidays get upon us for pastors to be trained with the principles that these dudes carried with them and eventually, of course, helped to birth a republic to the place that, you know, we're free today. And I would encourage pastors to go, or if church members are watching this, maybe they would encourage their pastor to go. They might even pay their way. I mean, it's only $99. They get 3 nights in a really nice hotel and lunches and breakfasts and one big banquet and then the whole conference for $99, simply because we have faithful donors that cover the rest of the cost. The cost per person is normally about $1,500, what it costs us. But for $99, those guys can get 3 days. And boy, they should jump on there, and church members ought to rally and pay those guys ways and get them to these camps so they can learn these basic principles that most guys have never heard. Bill, you know it. You're interfacing with these guys all the time. They don't know these principles, and they need to be taught. They believe separation of church and state's in the Bible, or it's in the Declaration of Independence, or in the Constitution. Of course, it's not in any of those, and they're afraid the IRS is going to take away their nonprofit status. Well, we ought to stand for the truth, even if they threaten to do it. But the truth is, as you know, Bill, in the history of the IRS, not one church has lost its nonprofit status because of political speech. This is just a smokescreen by these jerks in D.C. that want us to be quiet. And of course, if I was a communist, I'd want to shut the church down. Man, I'd want to shut up preachers and Christians. The largest organization that meets weekly in America on a regular basis is the church.
Yeah, well, amen.
You got to neutralize those guys.
The church is really volunteered for science.
These myths. You know, Romans 13 has been interpreted to teach you got to roll over and play dead. Paul said you can't stand against a tyrant. That's not what Paul said, and I've written on that. So folks need to go to my Dan Fisher BRR .com and get that book. So anyway,
I would say to people, Dan's book, get both of those books. Bring Back the Black Robe Regiment and get the other one as well. They're both excellent. And I'm going to go quickly to Pete Chambers here. He's been sitting there patiently listening to all this.
Yeah, I know he has.
Yeah, all this great history. Folks, Dr. Pete Chambers is a former Green Beret. I don't know, maybe you're always a Green Beret, Pete. And just would love to have you talk about what the mess we're in on our southern border and what you might think that how the silence of pulpits has contributed to this this immigration invasion on our southern border. How's it going down there?
It's going well right now. You know, I just took a little break. I'm heading up to a talk in Kentucky, but I'll be back next week. The border is just another line of effort that is an attempt to bring down this country from all angles. Border's just one symptom. It's very much in our face. It's the alligator closest to my canoe. But we've got, you know, we had the COVID thing. We had the next thing that's coming. The attack upon the church, you know, they don't want you to kneel to the big G God. They want you to kneel to the small G gods, goes all the way back to Molech, Ishtar, and Baal. So we see what it is now. And this is what the enemy's doing. Now I'm going to give you the 40,000 foot view, and we come back because I know you got a break. But the 40,000 foot view is this, that they want you to believe that you are decisively engaged. And what that means to a guy like me is, you're decisively engaged, that you got all your players on the battlefield and there is nobody coming. Okay, that's what decisively engaged is. They want you to believe that. They're very overt in how they operate. They forecast, they predict and program, they tell you what they're doing. We call it flagging themselves. That's good, that helps us. But in that, they've demoralized the nation, a Marxist technique to bring us down, to create chaos. And what we're doing on the border, and I'll explain it when we get to it, is we're controlling the controllables. That's how you defeat chaos. But
that's good.
You gotta keep in mind that the number one focus is your relationship with Christ, with God. You're taking that knee. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, we've got to turn. We've got to humble ourselves, and we've got to turn, and then our nation will be healed. But until we do that, it's just going to be we're decisively engaged. We can get that. Yeah. We can get that 12th man on the field.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We got to ask.
We're living in I believe we are living in a nation full of Davids, potential Davids, like King David, who ran at Goliath and struck him dead with a sling and a stone. And the church has been deactivated and neutralized by the lies that have been propagated in this nation.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
One of the things, I'll say this after we get back from the break, is I want to say something about the silence of the pulpits in America and what that has done.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available. At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
All right. Thanks again, people, for being with us. We're glad you're here. We got Dr. Pete Chambers and Pastor Dan Fisher with us. We're honored to have them, both great patriots.
Ready? Shout out to Brighteon. Thank you so much for having us on. It's been an amazing experience. You guys are always posting amazing things. And thank you, Mike Adams. It's been an amazing experience.
Thank you, Mike. Love you, Mike.
Ohio Brett, live in that state up north. Thank you so much for watching Brighteon.tv, the fastest growing streaming network in the world. I'm blessed to have the Ohio Brett Show for God and country in sports every Wednesday, 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time.
And tune in every single Sunday and every single Tuesday on the front lines with Christy Hutcherson. Hard-hitting news, live sometimes in the field, truth that you're not seeing anywhere else. Thank you so much, Brighteon TV. Tune in, it is the fastest growing. And also, thank you so much, Mike Adams. We appreciate you very much.
We love our head coach, Mike Adams. God bless you.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Thank you, Brighteon TV, and Bob Denny of Brighteon TV. Brighteon goes where other people don't have the courage to go. Great hosts such as Christy Hutchinson and Alan Keyes. And thank you, Mike Adams, as well. It's a pleasure to be on Brighteon TV.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. Glad you're still with us. Thanks for joining us today. We're honored today to have with us Dr. Pete Chambers, Pastor Dan Fisher. Pastor Dan Fisher leads something called Liberty Pastors. He does an incredible job with it. And Dan basically talks a lot about the history of the pulpit in America, something that the British referred to as the Black Regiment during the American founding. And Dr. Pete is a 39-year veteran of the Green Beret, and we're excited to have him with us today. And Dr. Pete was just talking about the southern border and what's going on down there and the relationship of what's happening to the silence of the pulpit in America.
Right. And just for context, my last year or so, actually 2 years, in Texas was on the border, Operation Lone Star, conducting operations, kind of looking for the needle in the stack of needles. When you've got 12,500 people coming across 1,250 miles of border, it gets pretty busy. Last year, I got out 22nd of May, and I went to work with a bunch of folks in Texas, We the People, and we created what we call the Remnant A-Team. And so the Remnant A-Team, our job is to go and interface with citizens, We the People, that landowners, people in the community, small concern communities. We've got about five or six now in the state of Texas that have gotten together, and they're supporting each other, not only just in the border operations, but also winter storm. We had an ice storm last year, and it's just amazing to see. That's what Americans do. We stand up, we take care of our neighbors. So in this situation, what we're doing now is I'm helping right now kind of a phase one in this thing so people can understand is what it is. They've got to have a common operating picture. If you're talking oranges and I'm talking apples, we're not in the same operating picture. So I've got to develop that. When we're talking about fifth generation warfare, which is multi-dimensional warfare, because we still got to, you know, we can't rule out the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, because without that, we're missing a major portion of this. But fifth generation warfare, when my people down there understand, look, this is a secret, deliberate manipulation of actors, networks, institutions, all this stuff, to achieve a set of goals, but also to minimize the retaliation upon them, because this is how cowards fight. It's information warfare, yes, and we hear it's a war of minds, yes. That's a real easy way to think of it. But it's honestly just one sentence. It's a battle of perceptions and information. That's it. It's a battle of perceptions and information. And so there's a saying that goes when you're doing the dark side stuff downrange, you know, when you're walking through and I'm dressed in a Afghan garb speaking Farsi to people, perception is reality. If they see me walking down the street and I'm making some light conversation, that's what they see. Well, the same thing's happening to us in our country right now. There's an insurgency that's taking place. And when you stand up physically, when you stand up with your speech, with your free speech, First Amendment, now you're considered an insurgent yourself, right? And so you've got a government or a corporatocracy that's conducting counterinsurgency upon its own citizens for standing up and doing what is right in the eyes of the Constitution. We talked about the framers in the last section. It's exactly it. So this is what we're doing. It's a humanitarian effort as well. There's nothing humanitarian about people dying in the middle of the Chihuahuan Desert out in Southwest Texas. There's nothing humanitarian about that. These people are being used as pawns. It's a human osmotic pressure thing. If you look back in the 60s, Cloward and Piven, two people wrote a doctrine, which was to create chaos in this country, the Cloward-Piven doctrine. This is what's been going on in Tsarist Russia, in the Stalinist Russia, really more so, in Africa, in Europe now, where you see the big migration for post-ISIS flowing across Iraq. These are all things that I personally have dealt with downrange, but now it's very easy to see. When you see it, You know, we have a saying in Texas, when you hear a hoofbeat, you think about a horse and not a zebra, right? So I've seen it enough to know what it sounds like. And that's what's happening on our border right now. Doesn't mean that the glass is half empty. It means that we got to get to work. And we are.
Talk about fifth generation warfare. The casualties are no less real, are they? Are they?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, if we look at the jab, I mean, we can go to town on that, but the casualties come in many ways. It comes in depression. It comes in anxiety. It comes in compliance. It comes in Stockholm syndrome, because that's really where we're at. We talk about cognitive dissonance. Well, cognitive dissonance is a guy that used to dip, you know, Copenhagen. That's where I dip 5 cans a week. Well, that's not, I'm only doing 1 can a week. That's not that bad now. That's cognitive dissonance, right? Minimizing things. Now we're at Stockholm syndrome. We took away everything from you and we gave it back. We told you to wear 1 mask, 2 masks. Then we said you don't have to. Well, now the next thing's coming. So this is, now but many Americans have fallen in love with their captor, because there is a demonic aspect to this, which wants you to believe that this small g god, this government, is big G god. And that's where the wool's been pulled over their eyes. And that's what our job is, especially my brothers and sisters in the ministry. Gosh, that's your main line of effort. And yeah. So sometimes I gotta, you know, my preacher back home, I love him to death, but I gotta grab him on the side and say, brother, you need to start talking some hard stuff here, because Amen. It's not gonna be milk toast anymore. We gotta get
Dr. Pete, I think we're gonna have to make you an ex officio member of the Black Robe Regiment.
Yeah,
Green Beret or what? But
he,
but man, you've got
the
spirit of the Black Robe Regiment running through your veins. And what you're talking about is incredible. And maybe Dan can weigh in on this as well, you as well, Dr. Pete. Sure. How significant, perhaps even in a negative way, has the complicity of the silence of the pulpit been in America when it comes to the stuff that's happening? How has the pulpit been neutralized in America?
I'm going to tell you that the pulpit itself kept me out of the church for 30 years of my life, because as a warfighter, I just didn't want to be around people that were just mamby-pamby, light. I need you to tell me some hard facts. And the day I walked into a little tiny Pentecostal Baptist church down there in Beaumont, Texas, and there was a man 6'4" that was a man's man and was preaching the gospel, when he was preaching a hard gospel, I walked into that place as just a guest with somebody there, and by the end of it, I was down on my knees on the front, because I heard somebody that was speaking truth, hard truth.
Yeah.
And I didn't need to hear, you know, hey, listen, we got to get out of here quick because we got to sell some cakes next door, you know, play some bingo. You know, I got it. There's a place for all that, but it's not a place when we're in battle. And this is a spiritual war as well as, like I said, a multi.
Yeah.
That's what,
you know, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
If I could weigh in here a second, you know, one of the things that I think is so important that modern pastors need to get, you know, a lot of guys say, well, I preach the gospel. I don't have time to be into politics. The gospel is more than just getting men and women on earth to heaven. The gospel also involves getting heaven into men and women on the earth. And we're to be warriors for the truth. And so guys will just preach John 3:16, which, gosh, it's a marvelous passage of scripture. Aren't we all delighted that Jesus died so we could live eternally? But that's all they'll do. They just preach the same saving message to people normally in their churches who were saved 25 or 30 years ago, or who are so gospel hardened, they'll probably never be saved. How about taking the ones that really do know the Lord and discipling them? You know, Jesus in his Great Commission didn't say go make converts. He said go make disciples. And I would call that warriors, soldiers. So, you know, so I encourage pastors, preach the whole counsel of God, not just the part that everybody wants to hear. Preach those hard parts.
Amen. Yep.
Pastor, that's amazing. Because that, to me, when I heard you say that, that's kind of a Green Beret's job. Our job is to go with 12 guys in the middle of nowhere and convince them. It's funny, 12 guys go in the middle of nowhere. I've done this in Afghanistan. And convince some people that they got to overthrow a bad state actor, or that they got to stand up. I got to convince them. I got to disciple them to become warriors. You know, Jesus is the ultimate Green Beret. I mean, in a sense.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing this model, so to speak. And I'm not belittling Jesus.
Paul is constantly talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, fighting the good fight. No man that's a warrior would entangle himself in things that'll keep him from being a good soldier. I mean, it's all through Scripture. Good grief, Joshua and Caleb, mighty leaders. We're in a spiritual war here. You know, people say, well, you know, Dan and Paul, they're wanting to start a revolution. Well, we're in a war here. It's a matter of whose principles are going to win. And I'm so glad, Pete, that you're down there doing the fight there. And Bill, you over in Virginia doing the pastor's huddles, America's Black Robe Regiment. Good grief. We just need more people in the ranks.
You know, I think I'm listening to Dr. Pete here. I'm thinking what we really need in preparing pastors to enter this battle is Green Beret training.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do with this Liberty Pastors thing, Bill. And you know that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a boot camp. In fact, I told Paul I wanted to call it boot camp. Black Robe Boot Camp is what I wanted to call it. Because you learn the basics there. And that's what these are. I mean, we can't take them from A to Z, but we can get them to A to C or D, maybe. Hey, you know, General Boykin, both you guys know who General Jerry Boykin is. One day he and I were visiting, and I was talking to him about how I felt that the Christian army was more than sufficient to fight this fight. And Jerry said something to me that was so profound. He said, Dan, you're right. The problem is the Christian army has no generals and commanders in the field to lead it. It's just soldiers on the battlefield. I know Pete knows what happens when there's no commander and the command structure breaks down. It's just kind of every man for himself. And boy, Jerry was so right. So we're trying to train some commanders to get out there on the field.
Is a Green Beret.
Yeah.
And man of courage. You know, I'm even thinking, Dan, we probably need to have some emphasis on physical training in pastors. I mean, a lot of us are a little bit overweight. We're out of shape. You know,
well, they misunderstood the term full gospel preacher. It doesn't mean eating until you look like a cheese puff.
Eating until you pop.
You need to be physically fit and mentally and spiritually. It's all three.
Just imagine.
And you know, one other thing, guys. I find that the troops out there, meaning the folks in the pews, they're ready to go. Now, they may not be fully educated and trained yet. They want to go. They just can't find a preacher that'll lead them. I have people come up to me constantly. Pete, you're a prime example of that in your own testimony a while ago, saying, man, if I could just find a pastor that had the guts to lead. That's why I tell everybody these white and white painted and red brick churches ought to all be painted yellow. Because these pastors don't have a spine. They are cowards. I've told Paul we need to come up with something called Spine-O-Matic and just sell it to them at Christmas time. You open up the box and it's got a spring in it and a spring-loaded backbone comes out. Give these guys a spine.
I love it. I love it. It should be developed as a maybe a spoof gift to give to pastors, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pastor comes to his church on a Sunday morning and says, somebody sent me a Spine-O-Matic this week. Wonder how that would affect it. Hallelujah. I think right now, you know, what's called for is the kind of action that would be considered extreme.
Yeah.
I think we just need to take off the governors and just start, you know, moving forward, the Lord and all this stuff.
I'll give you a little piece of advice on when I was a candidate in the Green Beret Corps. I had to go to SEER, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And during that last week, it's the most miserable training you've ever had, but it's the best training you ever had. You learn about yourself, and you learn about what you're going to do when it gets really hard. And when you're a prisoner of war, and Nick Rowe wrote about this, Vietnam veteran, Green Beret, he said, you got to return with honor. And the way that you get through this Stockholm syndrome and all these things and these little hard things, it's called little victories. So the little victories. So control your controllables, get the little victories, empower other people to get little victories, and then collectively we'll move forward. Because we got to stop. If we can just do this, we'll win this. The war will be over if we want it to be. Number one, faith and trust in God. But we've got to stop, period, stop, no more playing their game. Once we stop playing their game, it's done. But it's going to require those leaders right there. You think about General or Colonel George Taylor on Omaha Beach, you know, Red One Beach, Big Red One. He's a colonel on the beach. And he says, there are two kinds of soldiers on this beach, the dead and those who will die. Follow me. Let's go. And they busted through a wire that was blown by a Bangalore torpedo and went through it. That's a colonel on the beach. Where are those leaders now, both in the military and in the pulpit?
Yes.
How important is it, Dr. Pete, for these soldiers to understand that they need to be willing to die, to lay down their lives?
Most dangerous.
That's always a possibility in all this.
100%. The most dangerous person on the battlefield. I saw it happen. I've seen it happen a few times. I saw a soldier on a 240 Bravo machine gun, incoming direct, indirect fire, hit the top of the building, took his leg halfway off. He turned around, put a tourniquet on himself. By the time I got to the roof to help him, he's on his belly shooting the gun again, effectively. Okay, this is a guy that lost his leg, but he focused and he got back in the fight. The most dangerous person on the battlefield has accepted their death or understands where they're going to go after they die, and they're still able to lay down effective fire. That is the most dangerous person because they are totally committed. That's where we've got to be. We know where we're going to be. Gosh, I mean, I'd like to be there. I'm tired. I wanted to go raise cattle, not be in this fight still, but it's okay. So we've got to get that mentality that it's okay. And I'm not talking about kinetic warfare. I'm just talking about fully committed. Die to self. Get rid of that first enemy that you got, which is yourself. And as soon as you do that and you accept it, you're the most dangerous person on the battlefield.
Oh, yeah. Bill, I actually preach that people are never able to do life, to live their lives until they've dealt with death. Once you've dealt with death, then you can go live. And whatever happens, you know, it's going to be okay. And that's why most people can't live a fulfilled life, and they don't have hope and they don't have courage because they've never dealt with their own death. Man, that's right. Deal with that first. Get that taken care of. And then just leave the rest to the Lord and get about doing what God's told you to do.
I love that. Absolutely. Great.
I do too. That's awesome. Have you, Dr. Pete, have you read General Flynn's Fifth Generation Warfare?
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I've talked to both he and Boone about that. They both wrote together, Boone Cutler. And we've had discussion in person.
Good. Okay. I just got my copy. General Flynn just sent me a copy of it, and I'm looking forward to diving into that. I think our screen is frozen. In fact, I know it is because I'm moving, but I can't see myself moving on the screen.
We're still moving, but
we're still alive, Bill. I guess you're gone.
No, I'm alive.
About 2 minutes. I don't know if you can see it, but we're down to about 2 minutes.
It's the clock's not even working.
So we just hit 2 minutes right now. We're at a minute 58.
All right. Well,
Pete, I believe we've got a soldier down.
All right. Well, we could take it out.
I'm still on. I'm still
there
on.
He is. Okay.
But I'm not moving. Anyway.
Well, we can hear you, Bill. We can hear you.
Well, that's good. Sometimes it's better just to be able to hear me, not see me. Man, I'll tell you, you guys have really encouraged me today. And
well, Bill, while we're here in the last few minutes, I just want to remind folks, and Pete, you may have a website as well, but let me give mine out real quick. Dan Fisher BRR stands for BlackRobeRegiment.com. And then if the guys want to know about our Liberty Pastor training camps, they can go to libertypastors.com. And I've written on the Black Regiment. I've written on Romans 13 about unlimited submission, which the Bible doesn't require. Pete, do you have a website or someplace?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Thank you so much. So mine is easy. It's drpetechambers.com, drpetechambers.com. So.
And mine is abrr.us, and that's going to be, that website is pretty anemic right now, but it's going to be fully operational here within about 4 days. So keep checking back. it's just an honor to be working with you, Dan, and you, Dr. Pete, and to
my privilege.
Any way that I can support what you guys are doing, I'm happy to do that. I consider us to be partners with Liberty Pastors, so we're totally together on what we're doing. And Dr. Pete, just thank you. It's an honor to have you today. I've gotten a great education today. Again, so
it's an honor to be here with both you, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Pete. It's good to meet you, brother. I hope we work together someday in the future.
Roger that. Great to see you.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.